In Jesus' name. Eero Pisilän saarna tulkataan englanniksi. Keith Kosola. I will read as an introduction to these closing words from a place in the Gospel according to St. Luke. From chapter 2, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. We are in the field. In these Bible texts, there is often the difficulty that where can we find these connections to this time or to the situation we are in or the place we are in. But this time it is not difficult to find the connection in our text between the fields around Bethlehem and the stall and the fields here in Yppäri. And we go from these concrete matters to the feelings. In these Christmas texts, these texts of the shepherds in the field, there are a couple of feelings which are very familiar to me reading these closing words when the angels say, "Do not fear." It is something that I feared that I had to come here to give you this message when I think of what is the last message to leave these summer services. But on the other hand, this joy which we have experienced at these services is also present. We have been able to rejoice us in this group of organizers of these services that God has given us a great mutual love and a good mind to do work and to prepare these services and this festivity. And I could say in this way that this joy strongly touched me, and this preparatory work and this work that has been done came very close in the communion services on Saturday when we were able to come to the Lord's table. And a few of the communion guests' heart were filled so that they rejoiced aloud. That there was such a feeling came into my heart that we have not prepared this festivity for naught. And we have not invited you here to be our guests for naught, to take part in this joy brought by the Spirit of God, this joy of faith. And we hope that all of us service guests even though we have different types of feelings inside of us, would have a spark of joy with us when we leave here. This is the last sermon at these services. I don't know the source. Perhaps someone knows. Perhaps it was Luther or someone else who came before me, who thought about holding a last sermon in this way, that each time when we begin to speak the Word of God, that we would be able to speak as if it were my last sermon, my last speech. And each time when I am a listener, when I quieten myself to listen to the Word of God, I should listen in such a way that this could be my last sermon, my last, the last speech that I hear. And I could say in this way, it is very possible that in this group of people, for someone here, this may be the last sermon that they hear. And I do not know either, is this going to be my last sermon? But in this last sermon, and especially in these closing words, there are a few things that it would be good to mention. And matters that arise from our text and come to our mind. When we think about these shepherds leaving this visit to see Jesus, we heard their prayer and their thanksgiving and praise. And then in this next portion, there was thanksgiving. And first of all, I would like to thank my employer, the dear Heavenly Father, who wanted these services to be arranged here in Yppari. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And in order for us to have been able to hold these services here, this work, this process, began many years ago. It began with this, that we needed a place, a physical place, to keep keep these services, fields in which to hold these services. And next, I would like to thank you, dear friends, you dear farmers in Yppari, you colleagues of mine, who have made it possible. For us to arrange these conditions here and these circumstances, which have been praised, and we thank you for all this. We thank the people in Yppari who have had such a positive attitude toward these services, the administration, the authorities, the officials here have positively affected and made it possible for our work to be done. And we should remember that the communion that we had here was an event of the parish of Pyhäjoki. And we would like to thank Pyhäjoki and Oulainen parishes for the support which we have received, and that we have been able to have this communion here, and that we have been able to use the churches for the meetings in conjunction with these services. Then we come closer . I say to you from my heart, I could almost quote Mannerheim. I have fought on many fronts, but this group which has been arranging these services, I have not met anywhere. It is amazing that when these men and women, when I know these men and women, we have had such a mutual spirit, and we have been able to do things together. And I would like to ask each of you separately, to thank each of you separately, and all of you speakers who have served during these services, and all of you who have served in these practical tasks, you brothers and sisters and everyone, friends, interest groups who have supplied the goods for these services. There will probably be more reason to give thanks, but we have to limit it somehow. But why this great event? And I have, during these preparations, have spoken about this busy time that we have had, this project. And there are many practical matters that we have had to go through, but this all serves that the Word of God is brought forth, and the Word of God is in first place. Many times during these arrangements we have returned to this matter, that what is the basic task of these services? The basic task is that the Word of God is preached in this time. Regretfully, the spirit of this time is going further and further away from the Word of God. But here, anyway, we have heard sermons based on the Bible, sermons of repentance and forgiveness of sins and the call into the kingdom of God. And we have heard this here. Thank God for all of this. Sometimes we thought that, are we in the right time? That are we like some ancient leftovers in this modern time? How does it belong to this time that we speak about matters that happened 2,000 years ago, and we bring forth matters that seem so insignificant, that there were some frightened shepherds in some field somewhere, and so on. But that which the heart of man experiences has not changed. And today we are brothers and sisters of those shepherds in those fields. It is not hard to draw a connection to even at these services we have heard how the shepherds were a rejected class in their own time. They were in the bottom caste. In our society of equality, it is hard to understand that difference. That how can it be possible that a person cannot have any status at all, or is insignificant in the eyes of other people? But sometimes it feels like this to us believers in this time, when we are trusting in this message, which the shepherds also heard, that I will bring you tidings of great joy. We feel it inside of us and it touches us, but in many times in this time we have anguish. But I also think that now, as we are leaving these fields of the shepherds, or we are leaving these feelings that we have encountered here, this great joy, we have found the Christmas child, the Redeemer, here. We have no reason to keep it secret, keep this joy secret. Has it felt sometimes to you, who carry this faith and this joy, that in this time where this kingdom is so strange, that we are sometimes ashamed and we feel that we have to pull a hood over our head? In this cross, in the waves of opinions that surround us, but based on the Word of God, dear service guest, I say that no matter what your own feelings are, you can leave these services, you can lift up your gaze, and you can look at the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can own this joy which has been spoken of here. And what does it mean in practice? You can go talk about the services, bring greetings to a dear friend who does not have this joy. In this difficult time that we live in, sometimes we feel so closed. We do not want to encounter others at the workplace in discussion. We leave such discussions elsewhere. Sometimes even I myself say that very rarely do I talk with my neighbors about how we believe. Now we have the opportunity. God, through His Word, encourages us. And the shepherds returned, praising and glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This text is telling you, is encouraging you through these closing words. With many of you, there a very positive message will leave these services. The service guests have thanked the organizers that everything has worked so well. Nothing serious has happened here. However, in the lives of people, someone may think that something was wrong here, but it is our choice. That what do we tell others about these services? Just think of these shepherds in the field when they went to Bethlehem, to this stall, to this the Bible doesn't tell us how many shepherds there were, and I'm sure that when they returned to their own places, they probably had slightly different messages about what had happened and what was spoken there. But that I hope and believe. But I think that none of these shepherds had such a message that they went back to their friends and said that we went to a stable. We saw donkeys and it smelled like a stable. Sometimes some messages like this have left from the summer services, but we hope that everyone who has visited here and been here would bring such a message, that we have a Redeemer. A Redeemer has been born, and He's still living, who affects in this amazing congregation, so that when we preach this familiar forgiveness of sins, this gospel, then this child of the manger who suffered and arose, our Redeemer, was alive and present. That's the amazement. That's the reason for praise. And even though at times we have felt that our own faith is tried, that do I have the strength to believe in this manger child in this time, or do I just see the donkeys and smell the stable? That even in this time, this congregation of God, this group of believers, is living, and joy is present here through the gospel. The Heavenly Father has guided me during the last years. To be representing the kingdom of God in faraway lands, and I can say that here, that you who are here in Finland have sometimes thought and asked that is this mother Sarah still live and thriving? I will tell you that the Sarah mother, the kingdom of God, is still giving birth to children in this kingdom. I have had such experiences . I will cite one example that stopped me. In a hotel in Nairobi, when we were waiting for our Kenyan brothers, one of who is visiting here, we were waiting for the services to start. I went to talk to a local security guard, and he asked after a few phrases, "Are you a Christian?" And I told him, "I am." And such a Christian that we are serious about this word of God, and he was amazed. You're the first white man who he has met who admits to being a believer. And we had an interesting discussion. And I told him about the kingdom of God. And after several phases, we had services even in between. And we left him an English book, How I Found the Kingdom of God. And when we came back, that those stories in that book were exactly like his searching. And we asked him, that would you like to have this kingdom of God for your own? He said he would. And with that Kenyan brother, the Kenyan brother put one hand on his hand on one shoulder, and I put my hand on the other shoulder, and we preached his sins forgiven. And when I tell you these stories like this, you can picture that there is joy there. This joy which is unfathomable, something that human mind cannot understand. It touches us. And this joy is with the giver as well as the receiver. And it did not end there. And this man has joined the group of believers in that city, and he wants to believe and be a member of the congregation of God. And it is touching. When I received the first email message from him, there was one sentence which spoke to me. He said, "I am a changed man." That joy had changed his heart. we can bring this message from these services that the mother Sarah is not fruitless. She still gives birth to children, and we can rejoice. We can bring positive messages in this time where the negative messages seem to dominate. Just think of our days. As soon as we open the radio in the morning, all kinds of negative matters are heard, and we are fed these negative news all day long. Many sad news. And I would like to connect to my final words here, a topic for discussion, that how could we keep ourselves separated, that we would be like those shepherds, that we would bring messages of joy and thanksgiving, and we would not speak evil things. Sometimes when speaking about this topic, I have cited the book of Sirach in the Apocrypha books in the Bible, and I would like to cite them in these closing words. These words are not found in the English Bible. We should speak positively about our friends. We do not need to spread evil or negative messages. If you want to study these words in the book of Sirach, he writes in the Apocrypha book, if you hear something bad, do not repeat it, for being quiet does not hurt anyone. You shouldn't tell your friend or your enemy, and don't tell it if you cannot do it without a bad conscience. You are heard, and your words are heard, and you are hated because of it. If you had heard something, let it die within you. Then you will have a peaceful heart, and you will not be torn apart. Is it not a bit different than what is taught today? And I would like to reinforce these words of Sirach. Luther explains the big catechism. It is worth reading the explanation of the eighth commandment. We explain this commandment in this way and its meaning. No one shouldn't hurt his neighbor with his language, be he friend or enemy. Do not speak evil of him, not truth or untruth, only if it happens because the officials require it or to help him. Everyone should use their words just the other way. They should speak only good of their neighbor. And he ends this portion this way: everything that you want man to do to you, do also to them. In this way, the Word of God and those before us teach us about messages. In this community of believers, we have had to learn this even as individuals, even in our homes, in our communication. Is it not important that we do not poison the relationships between people by speaking about evil things or sad things? We have such important and big matters of joy of which to speak, which are related to faith. And of all the richness of the kingdom of God, that we have no reason to begin spending time in all these negative things and poisoning one another's minds and poisoning each other because of them. One more thing about communication. These services and these sermons have always been based on the Bible. And today we have to ask that, does the foundation of our message disappear in this time when the Bible does not mean anything to a large group of people? It is just a story of Bedouins, according to them. And they have no mutual understanding of the Bible or what the revelation of the Bible means. Then it's hard to discuss with them. But on the other hand, it is so that our faith is based strongly on the Bible, and that which we teach is based strongly on the Bible. But the Spirit makes it alive. And we have believed and experienced that the gospel preached through the Holy Spirit also touches such a heart which has perhaps never even heard about the Bible. Deeper inside people, deeper than their feelings, they have a conscience. And human nature. And it is a part of human nature that when man has done something wrong, man feels ashamed or has a bad feeling. And how many people in this time carry different bad feelings and anguish and shame because of what they have done? And many who have read the Bible cannot find comfort there or help. It happens to them like it happened to the eunuch of Ethiopia, who read the Bible but didn't understand it. I have an experience from that area also. We had ended services in a certain village. They were the first services in that area. An old man asked to speak. He had followed the Bible. He had followed the Bible during the services. And he said, "I have read this Bible many times. Now what is it? What is it that I have not understood the message of the kingdom of God and forgiveness from the Bible which you brought here?" Even though it was a hot day in Africa, I got shivers in my spine that we poor speakers go there to tell people who may know the Bible very well, we go to tell them that there is a kingdom of God on earth and they are called into this kingdom to believe their sins forgiven and the Holy Spirit affects that they receive this and it is opened unto them, that this message is based on the Word of God, but we have not found it ourselves. Just, I could say that your hunger will not go away by reading a cookbook, but you have to prepare the food. And here the Heavenly Father has set a bountiful table. I have been tied by practical matters here, but I have heard in these sermons that the table of grace has been set very bountifully. The gospel has been preached, and no one knows how many anguished, tried heart has been able to receive this unmeasurable joy during these days. Much joy has flowed here. We hope and we pray that the message that leaves here, topmost in this message, would be the message of forgiveness. And this words, these words can still be heard through these speakers and also on the radio. But even yet, I would like to remind you that this is the core message. This whole project has been set up for this sole reason, that we forgive sins. We preach of the forgiveness of sins. We speak about the forgiveness. Even now, the message of joy, the tidings of joy to you, dear hearer, dear listener, is that you can believe your sins forgiven in the name and atonement blood of the Lord Jesus. May the dew of grace moisten your dry heart. Believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And if we think about this time in this world, of what messages we encounter here and what negative matters we encounter here, how people are prone to spread evil messages. They only speak of this, that there would be much need for this forgiveness in this world. And if we just think for a moment, what is there a lack of in this world? There is an alarmingly great lack of forgiveness in this world. There is hate, there are wars, there are disagreements. And the fact that people more willingly speak evil things rather than ask that I did something against you, I have transgressed against you, could we agree, could we iron this out, could I have it forgiven? And if one message from these services is this, that we ourselves, including myself, could go to say to even one person that I would like to talk about these matters with you, or we could go visit our neighbor and tell him, I have been such a timid believer that I have not dared to talk about that joy which this faith gives me, and even ask for forgiveness. Can you, dear neighbors, forgive me for my timidness and my selfishness that I have enclosed myself in my own problems, that I have not had the strength to tell my neighbors about this great matter? And you, brothers, you boys and girls, this also gives you the authority that you also can tell all your friends about this joy, to tell them that it was great to be at the summer services. There were a lot of friends there, but above all, at the summer services, sins were forgiven. And I am a believing boy, and I would like to tell you about this. and you, dear youth, you students and you young adults, let us spread this joy amongst us, so that this heavy time and all the messages that we hear, these negative messages, they are magnified by the technology of today, so that they would not bring us down and bring distress to us, but that we could rejoice. The time allotted to me is beginning to end, but I hope that our joy would only be reinforced. And I will read from the book to the letter to the Philippians at the end here. Rejoice in the Lord, and I tell you again, rejoice. May your civility to all people be known. The Lord is present. Do not be sorrowful. May all your requests be made to God with all prayer and thanksgiving. And may the peace of God, who is above all human understanding, protect your hearts and your souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. A joyous message for you to bring home. The gospel comforts us in this kingdom, protects us, is a source of joy. Believe even your last doubts and sins and trials, temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. On to peace, freedom, and joy. Have you noticed that this word joy is also in this traditional message, unto peace, freedom, and joy? And we who have been arranging these services have used the gospel and have repaired matters. We have used this as a source of joy. And in my task, I have wanted to serve with my own gifts, but I have been unsuccessful in many things and have felt my own lacking, and I feel sinful before you. I ask, can I remain believing all my sins forgiven? In Jesus' name and blood, believe all your sins forgiven. This gospel remains as our security, and we can remain blessed. We can go on our journey blessed. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.